You know, I feel I got to just go off on a tangent a little bit, because do you remember when you were a kid and you go to a wedding or an event and there was a big smorgasbord of so many things and what that was like? Which one should I do first or take first? That's what I feel like here. This is my first time here. This is just an amazing event. So my hat's off to you and the committee and BYU. And I would like us all just to give them all a round of appreciation, if you would do that. This is fantastic. Do you all have a rule book? Everybody's got a rule book. Please take your rule book out. Don't worry about the stuff inside the rule book. You can dump it on the floor just like I did. Now, probably the most important thing I can give you in the next hour, I might run over a little bit, but in the next hour or so, are the rules I'm going to give you as we go along. My system is built on a set of rules to follow. And if you follow the rules, you'll do better in your selling. I submit that to you. So as we go along, please jot down the rules that I give you. When you go home, the best thing to review, and I review, I have a rule book, there are about 70 different rules in it. I review them all the time because I find them inspiring, even though I know my system inside and out. There are some other things in here that I'll talk to you about later on. Now, I'm going to ask you all a lot of questions, and I need answers. Are you willing to participate?
Yes.
Okay. I may ask some of you to role play with me. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Now here's the rule in role play. If you start to feel really uncomfortable, because some of the role plays can get a little intimate, you can bail out. Fair enough? You just say, Steve, I've had enough, I'm done. Are we good? Okay. Now what I just did is, what did I just do? Yeah, I got an agreement with you, right? Okay, agreements are very important in selling. So let me set the stage for this once again. We touched on this yesterday, so for some of you it will be a review. Notice on the back of the rule book, I have a lot of information as a quick reference guide for you. So you don't have to, you know, just write. Some of it's already here. Okay, so here's where we are today. I'll go through this quickly because we talked about it for many of you yesterday. We all have this instinctive brain inside of ourselves that says that we've got to live, we've got to hunt, we've got to get an income, and we have to make sales. True? And we've been taught over a long period of time, 150 years, that your job as a salesperson is to get up in the morning and do what? Hunt and kill. I got to find prospects, and then I got to go out and make a sale. And whether you like it or I like it or not, that drumbeat is still beating in you as hard as you try to be a great, nice person and not be a salesperson. Can you relate to that? You feel it, like we want to win? You sit down with a client and you say, I'm going to make a sale today. Positive thinking. Our clients see you coming. What do they do? If you see a caveman coming ready to slay you, what are you going to do? You're going to run and hide, right? And you want to get their information because you got to live. So clients are after your information. First rule. All clients want your information free. Okay, write that down. All clients want, never forget that clients want your information without paying for it. Right? You can do a lot of plans for people. As soon as they have your information, what do they normally do? Beg your pardon? They implement it on their own. They take control of the process. When a client has your information, who has the power? They do. You've lost entire control of the selling situation. So that's what they want. They want to take control. On the other hand, you want to be empowered. You want to control the selling situation. So you're out selling. You're doing all the old manipulative stuff that salespeople do. This is called a dance between a salesperson and a prospect. And out of that dance comes this thing called the selling barrier. We sit down with prospects, as I talked about yesterday, we sit down with prospects, and no matter how hard we try to not look like a salesperson, what are they thinking about us? You're a salesperson. You are. Because you know, in the car driving over, have you ever gone to shop for a car and you're driving to the car place with your wife? And what do you say to her? We're not buying today. And when those folks are coming to your place, that's what they're saying. Hey, don't tell him too much, and let's see what he's got, and we're not buying today. Don't sign anything. Can you relate?
Yes.
If you don't answer, I leave. All right. So what are the tactics that cavemen use that you and I have been trained on and taught since 1850. Old time selling started 150 years ago. And the old time tactics, what's the first thing you do when you meet a client? What do you do? What's that? Shake his hand, yes. After you shake his or her hand, what's the first thing you do? What are you supposed to do? Introduce yourselves, and you're going to do warm-up. Isn't that what you were taught? Let's do, how's the weather, how's your day going, how's the week, and so on. The next thing that you were taught to do is to gather data. Sir, I can't help you unless I know all about you. You got all your statements here. How much life insurance do you have? When did you buy it? What are your goals? What are you looking to do in the future? What kind of income do you have? Salaries, 401ks. You gather all the data, right? Then you tell your client that you're going to go back to the office. Say, I got some good ideas. I'm going to go back to the office. I'm going to prepare a plan for you, and we're going to fix your situation. So you go back to the office, you spend 2 hours or 3 hours going through creating a plan, and man, it is a darn good plan. In fact, it's a phenomenal plan. And I used to do that. I'd go back to the office, you know what that's like, you do the plan, you look at it, show it to a friend or a partner, it's great, can't be better. And you go back and make a presentation of your plan to the client. While you're making the presentation of the plan to the client, what is the client doing? What does he do?
Thinking about objections.
Thinking about objections. They're sitting there saying, that's good. I like that. Really? And then finally, they say something. And it's always in the form of an objection. But what about this? But what about that? Now, old school selling says the sale starts when? When you get your first objection. So you get your first objection, you run into your back office, you take out your objection answering book. You say, how do I answer that? You run in, they give you objection, da-da. You go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the next thing is to do a trial close. Sir, do you think you'd like your contracts in yellow or green? Something. That's a trial close. Then what does your client do again? They come up with more objections. Yeah, but these numbers don't work, and I don't know, I read about this, and you answer all the objections. You got to go back into the back, get your other objection book, and then you get more objections, and finally, you get to the big close. What kind of closing do you use? What's your favorite close? You can tell me. It depends close. So I had them all, like I said yesterday. My favorite was the Ben Franklin. How many of you are still using Ben Franklin? Yeah? Hold the pen close. The doorknob close. The pay yourself first close. I'm missing a few. I can't think of all of them. The assumptive close. Ben Franklin T close. Now, do you think your client has never seen those closes before? Right? I told you the story. You know, I'm out in the field and I do a T-chart for Ben Franklin. And my client looks at me and says, "You're not going to do the Ben Franklin close on me, are you?" I said, "Yeah, I am." They say, "But it's so old." I'm like, "What? You know what I'm going to do?" It's like the client I walked into. You ever go on a kitchen table sale? You talk about the pictures on the walls. Client says to me, "Please don't talk to me anymore about those pictures. I'm sick of talking about them." Every salesman that walks in here. So that's the second rule. If you see another salesperson doing something, you can no longer do it. That's the second rule. Whatever you see other salespeople do, because they're all old-time salespeople, you can't do it anymore. Okay? That might take out a lot of stuff for you. It's like, what am I going to do, Steve? You just took away my whole playbook, or a good part of it. All right, so then you handle all the stalls, sir, but client says to you, what would the client normally say to you? I got to think about it. That's the most common. That could come in a lot of different ways, like we never make a 24-hour decision. I mean, a decision in 24. I had a client say to me, "Steve, I never make," this is selling health insurance. You know, health insurance is a one-call close. How many of you are doing one-call closes here now? Oh, good. You still are? It's great. So I don't know if this ever happened to you. So I sat with a client, it's a one-call close, and I go for the close. And the client says to me, Steve, I have a rule. I never make a decision unless I wait 24 hours, right? So I said, "Really?" And I looked at the client and I said, "You know, here's the problem. I have a rule too." And the client says, "What, are you kidding me? You have a rule?" I said, "Yeah, well, if you can have a rule, I can have a rule, right? It's like I'm not allowed to have a rule because I'm a salesman." She says, "Well, what's your rule?" I said, "My rule is I never come back." We're at a stalemate. So she says, "So what do we do now?" I said, "I don't know. What do you think?" And she said, "Let's pray on it." We've all been down that road. And when she said no, I said, "Let's pray again." Did not get the right answer. So then we wind up, and this is the bad part about selling. And this is where I almost left the business. And I see a lot of good people, smart people, good-hearted people, good-natured people leave our business. You've seen it too, right? Most people fail in our business. You guys, if you've been in business 3-4 years, you should look in the mirror and say, congratulations. You're one of the few. And I'll ask people, well, why did you leave the business? Two reasons. I'm not a good enough closer, right? And I just got tired of chasing people. I chase, chase, chase. Can you relate to that? What does it feel like? Just think of the last person. Right now, you have a client that has complete control of you. Right now, you have one that you are chasing. Isn't that true? What does that feel like? Now, I've been told, Steve, it feels like I'm begging for the business. I feel like I have no control, like I've given away everything. I feel disrespected. And those emotions percolate in us and they eat us up. I'll talk to you more about that in a second. So this is old school selling. Old school selling delivers the chase. Just by the way it is built. It was built for a time and place that no longer exists. It's old. Does it work? Sure it works. Of course it works. But it's like playing a vinyl record instead of a CD. It's old. You get scratches. It's tough. It's energy draining. So here, now what are our prospects doing? While we're doing that, our prospects have formulated their own game plan. I mean, they're not stupid, they're very smart. We underestimate our prospects. We really do. I think it's like going on the football field and underestimating your competition. Now imagine going on a football field to play and your team knows all of your moves. Like the Patriots do. Sorry. So they while you're warming them up, they're warming you up. Well, I got $1 million, I don't know where to put it. Oh, man. You know, I was thinking about buying some life insurance. We're at that age, 72. So they warm you up, you get all excited, you start asking them questions. Now listen very carefully. Knowingly or unknowingly, do they always tell it straight to you?
They say buyers are liars.
They do say buyers are liars. And unknowingly or knowingly, they are. Some people are very forthright, they know they're lying or deceiving you, because they have an agenda to get your information, and others don't even know that they're lying to you because they're not in touch. So they will deceive you. When you put a little pressure on them because you're using old-time manipulative sales tactics, what do? They run and hide. They keep hiding on you. And then when you finally get them, they'll deceive you again, and then they're finally going to use their out card. What is the out card for the consumer? I got to think about it. That's their Trump ace card. They know they can get out of making any decision with you by saying to you, I need to think about it. You do that when someone's trying to sell you something. What's your Trump card? Look, at the end of this, I'm going to try and sell you something. Many of you are going to come up to me and say, Steve, this is great stuff. Let me think about it. You're going to come to the booth, and I'm going to say, this costs $500, this costs... You're going to say, oh, man, it's great. Let me think about it. Aren't you? I had some of you over earlier. Oh, boy. You know, let me think about it, Steve. Just say no. Just say no. But clients won't do that. Why won't a client look at you and say, no, I don't want to do business with you?
They don't want to
hurt your feelings. They're nice people. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I'm out talking when I was doing, most of my bad experiences are before I invented the system here or created it. So I'm out doing kitchen table sales again. I do my presentation. I said, should I come back? Lady says, yeah, come on back. Come back. Husband and wife, she's really excited, he isn't. Do all my stuff again and presentation, handle all the objections. And I say, you know, looks to me like this is really good for you. I'm going to get the paperwork out. Assumptive close, right? And she says, oh, Steve, no. I said, what? I don't understand. She says, we're not buying anything. So I said, I've been here for two meetings in like 4 hours, and you're not going to buy anything? She says, oh, we never planned to buy anything. So I said, why did you want me out here? You know what her answer was? I didn't want to hurt your feelings. She didn't say, I thought you needed the practice. Thank goodness. Or we like your company. She didn't want to hurt my feelings. And people will do that. And then they disappear. That's called alien abduction. They just disappear off the map. I don't know how that happens. You know, you ever have a client, you have a great first meeting, they don't come back for the second meeting? Where'd they go? So this is the world of old school selling. That is the environment that most financial professionals are living in, either knowingly or unknowingly. But viscerally, don't you feel that?
Yes.
I need something. Even if it's no, I'm okay either way. Can I take my jacket off again now that you know I have one? No. Tough luck. All right. So where does this leave us? This leaves us with a random system. Randomness causes all kinds of problems. When something is random, can you ever figure out what's going to happen? No. It's random. That's what random means. I don't know what's going to happen. And when you're in a random selling system, you lose energy, you lose enthusiasm, you lose money, you lose confidence, you lose control, you lose time, and most of all, you lose the ability to self-correct. You cannot correct yourself because you have nothing to go on. It's all random. How many of you play golf? Okay? You need a coach, right? But what the coach teaches you is how to self-correct your swing, don't they? It's like a good coach is going to build into you, hey, when your ball goes this way, you probably grip or whatever it is for you. This is how we self-correct. In old school selling, you cannot self-correct because it's all random. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. All I know is something's going to happen. Most of the time, probably not good. It's random, okay? So randomness brings up fear. And this is something that I talk about a lot. I could spend really a long time. I think embedded in all of us is we're afraid. We're really afraid. You know, and those fears, I think the fear is the root of anger. It's the root of not being able to make a decision. It's the root of not having courage. It's the root of being nervous. It's the root of fear is right at the core of who we are. We're afraid of something. What's the biggest thing we're afraid of? Failure and? Rejection and?
Start here.
And what?
Start
Starving.
Waste of time.
What's your biggest fear? Your biggest fear? No, that's your biggest fear? This is interesting. I haven't heard the word yet, the D word.
Death.
Most of us just want to push it out. Don't even want to think about it. Why don't you sell life insurance? Why don't people buy life insurance? They're not dying. Right? Oh, I'm not going to die. Really? That's why I had a client, 44 years old, walk out of my office 3 weeks ago, healthy as a horse, dentist, beautiful wife, beautiful family. Wife calls me up 3 weeks later, he's dead. What? He's dead. This fear encapsulates us, and it puts us in a box. The fear of leaving old traditional selling because you're used to it and comfortable with it and it's habitual and you've learned it and everybody else is doing. The fear of moving that encapsulates you in a prison. And you just keep doing that over and over and over and over and over again and living through that same scenario trying to figure it out. And I submit to you that's really, really tiring if you get into it. First chapter of my book talks about, I realized when I stepped back, you know, we were taught yesterday when you, or maybe this morning, wasn't that great this morning, the storytelling thing? So when you step back, you see things differently. I stepped back 2 years into the business and I said, I'm really tired. I'm exhausted. And until I stepped back, I didn't realize how tired I am. And I would suggest if you step back, go on a 2-day retreat for yourself. And then you'll realize how tired you really are. And then you got to understand, why am I so tired? Why is that? Randomness runs us ragged. This is what it looks like. So something doesn't go right, you say, well, that didn't work, I'll try this. Or you say, that didn't work, I'll try that. Or it worked yesterday, but something doesn't work today. Did that ever happen? You used something on a client yesterday, it worked. You used them on a client today, it didn't work. What happened? Okay, it must be my clients. How many of you have bad clients? Okay, here's the rule. Write this rule. There are no such thing as a bad client. There are only bad salespeople. Must take responsibility. If you don't sell that client, somebody else will find the key. Now, I'm not saying you should sell everybody. There are no bad clients. It's all about you and your relationship to that client. All right? Oh, what just happened? Bad luck. I read this book and it said, okay, so you try that. I'm going to go back to this because that worked 2 months ago. I'm going to go back to that because that worked 6 months ago. But it worked before and it's not working now. And I think I'm going around in circles. This is the environment that we live in. When people come to me and say, Steve, what am I doing? This is what, and I say, let's talk about that. Let's just have a conversation about you. And it always looks like that. This is what it looks like. And then there's an emotional cycle that's attached to this. You know this from the stock market, right? Everybody here know that diagram when the market's going up, everybody's exhilarated, furious, buying in the bull market. Then people don't sell until it gets really bad, then they panic, and then there's despair hope. Well, we go through the same cycle. Here, you meet a new client, you sit down at an appointment. All right, we're off to a good start. I have an appointment. Oh, these are really nice people. Yes, I've got a nice one. Oh, wow, they have problems. This is like a bull market, right? Euphoria, I've got them. You ever sit with a client like I have and said, oh, I got it, it's done. Right? Have you ever done that?
Yes.
You got to help me out here. Is there anyone here that hasn't done that? That's what I was going to say. He said, you're a liar. All right? Then things start going wrong. The client says something, you say, what? I don't understand. Then the next thing that goes through your mind is you need to run it by who? Or something. And then you say, this is not going well at all. See that? And then you say, this is where you reach panic. Ay, 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 I'm in deep dew. Those are technical words I use. I mean, that's what, I don't know about you, but this is what I go through or used to go through. It's actually, when you look at it at a distance, kind of funny, isn't it? And sad at the same time, because we need to earn a living, we want to help people, and we want to do all these good things. All right, so I am in deep dew. Okay, I'll look forward to your call. And you do. You look forward to their call, because in you is, write this down, this is a rule. We tend to live on hope. That's called hopeitis. We live on hope. And the second part of this rule is your greatest challenge is getting rid of hope. Stop hoping. Hope will take you out of reality. And reality is where you help people. And reality is where you make money. Next rule. Reality is where you help people. Reality is where you make money. So we get, I'll look forward to your call. Then you go back home or back to the office. You say, what's wrong with me anyway? Can't I get a break? You know, this is 8 in a row. I need a break. Okay, well, let's see. Let me look at my calendar. I have another appointment coming in tomorrow. Yeah, I can refire myself up. 2 more seminars next month. I should close something. And then you sit down with the next appointment and it all starts all over again. So at the end of the day, by the way, euphoria in selling is your point of greatest risk. When you feel euphoria, that's your most dangerous moment, because it's probably not true. You never got them. When do you know you got them? After the delivery. Pardon? 12 months after the delivery, in some cases. Okay? And this is actually, despair is the point of greatest opportunity. So it's exactly reverse of what we typically think. Next rule is the world works in reverse from what you think. I submit to you that you think the world works one way, that it really doesn't, it works backwards. And I'm going to prove that to you throughout our session here today. It's counterintuitive. The more you try and help people, the less they want it. The more information they give, the less respect they have for you. And it goes on and on and on and on. The world works in reverse. Okay, so I'd like you to take out your, maybe some of you have done this already, don't tell your neighbor. Take out a pen, and in your packet, you're going to find the numbers game. Everybody have the numbers game? Please, if you've done this before, don't give it away. Do you all have it? You all have a pen? Okay, I want you to draw a line bisecting the horizontal, so the line would be between 3 and 9. Just draw it straight across the page. You don't have one? Then I want you to draw a line vertically bisecting the page. That would be between numbers 13 and 3. You should have 4 quadrants on the page. 13 and 2. I'm not wearing my glasses. Okay. 13 and 2. Everybody got four quadrants. When I say go, don't cheat. When I say go, I want you to circle in order the numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, as far as you can get. When I say go, you know that. All right, ready? I'm going to give you 20 seconds. Set, go. Okay, pens down. Put your head on the table for a rest. How many do you get? 12. 16. How much? 8. Do you know this? Oh, you know it. For people who don't know it, 32. 3. And you don't know this. That's very good. 28. Wow. 29? What's wrong with you guys? You're brilliant. This is the most, Rob, be careful with this group. They're really smart. Okay. Back there, how many? How many? 20. Oh my God, this is not gonna work. All right, turn the paper over. I feel defeated. I really feel defeated here. Do the same thing, bisect it vertically and horizontally. That's between the 13 and the 2. And horizontally between the 9 and the 3. Now, if you'll notice, there's four quadrants. There's a 1 in the first quadrant, a 2 in the second quadrant, a 3 in the third quadrant, a 4 in the fourth quadrant. You notice that. Does everybody see that? And they're in the same spots. Now, knowing that, I'm going to give you 20 more seconds. When I say go, circle the numbers now. Pardon? Oh, the numbers are in the same spot. All right, ready, set, go. That would be a stop. How many did you get? 22? 10 first time, 30 the second. Why? Pattern. You knew the system. You see, folks, if you have a system, things get easy. The folks that did well on the first round, you saw the system, didn't you? Otherwise, you would have gotten 12 or 13. So if you have a system, things will be, everything I do is systematic. When I started to do this, I know everybody uses the FedEx thing, but I do too. I said, I want to create a system like FedEx. I'm amazed at FedEx. It's not up there. I don't know where it is, but I think it comes later. But I'm amazed at FedEx. Millions of packages go into a little steer box outside offices all over the world at the end of the day. And the next day, millions of packages appear in the right time, in the same place, in the right place, at the right time, all over the world. How do they do that? Well, it sure is certainly not a random process. It's a system. You know, the guy isn't standing on the line saying, well, you know, I think I'll put this one here. Systems make life easy. I'm going to show you how to sell systematically. You're going to have a ball. I promise you that. I wish you could sit in my sales meetings. There are times I can't hold myself back from laughing. They're so much fun. It's a hoot. And then they buy. You want to learn that? All right, so here's our customer. We've gone through manufacturing, distribution, information, and now we have the age of the consumer or the customer. They want to be empowered. Write that down as a rule. Clients today do not want to be sold. They want to be empowered or enabled, which is a great, that's what clients want today. Millennials, if you're not on social media and you're selling to millennials, they want to figure it all out. You know, years ago, we had the key, the lock to all the information. They had to come to us to find out what variable universal life was, or a whole life. We had the key to the information. We were the vault. And then what happened with the internet? We threw the key. They don't need us for information. What do they need us for?
To understand
the information. It's a whole different set of circumstances, because whatever you tell them, they're going to go on Google and look it up. Okay, so here's the problem. This is up here. This is growth, change, accelerating. And do you think most financial professionals are into change?
Negative.
I'm just going to keep doing it. It worked 10 years ago. I give dinner seminars. I've been giving dinner seminars for 20 years. 20 years ago, if I sent out a mailing for dinner seminars, I got a 3% response. How many of you do dinner seminars in here? Oh, come on. How do you get your clients? If you're not doing dinner seminars, I know everyone tells you they're bad or you don't want to spend, they're phenomenal. Anyway, so if you don't, if this is you and that's you, your money is, you're going to lose money. And eventually, you're not going to be in the business. This business is so far, is changing so quickly. If you're not a Series 65 and you're just selling insurance, you're an alligator. You're old. The business has passed you by. You're done already. You don't know it yet because you got 5, 6, 7, 8 more years. You can make a living. You need your Series 65. You don't need a Series 7 because you don't want to deal with FINRA. You don't want to trade stocks anymore. You don't want to be a broker. If you're not selling fixed index annuities, the business is passing you by. If you're not selling index universal life, the business is passing you by. If you're not holistic in your approach, the business is passing you by. And unfortunately, we don't know things pass us by until it's too late. We get into trouble. So this is the evolved state. This is where I want to take you. Instead of trying to close sales, I want to show you how you can get people to close themselves. Which is better?
The other one.
It's about improving finances. It's about improving their life. Instead of you trying to solve their problems, see, we were taught that we have all the information and a client comes to us, it's my responsibility to solve your problem. How did I get the responsibility to solve your problem? Whose responsibility is to solve their problem? It's really theirs. If you take that away from them, I'm going to solve your problem for you. It's very disrespectful. You're telling them that they are incapable of doing something on their own. And write this down as a rule. People are perfectly capable of solving their own problems. If you don't respect people at that level, that's just an ego trip on your part that you think you can solve somebody else's problem. You can't. It's impossible. So let them solve their problems. You just have to know how to do that. You want to get the win? Of course you want to get the win, but we got to get the client to win. And finally, instead of trial and error, we're going to use a system. So that's what the evolved salesperson looks like. So my focus and my mission in giving talks like this to both the agents that are, I'll train anybody. You know, I have an FMO, of course we talk about this, but I'll come out here and talk to anybody. And I talk all many, many places. How do you get from here to there? Okay, so the new science says this. There are three components that you need to become proficient at in order to come and evolve as a person and as a selling professional. And that is based on science, it's based on psychology, and the last one is drama. You all know what drama is, right? It's what your kids do when you had younger kids. Did they understand drama? My daughter's 15. Everything she says to me is like a Broadway show. There's no dinner. Oh, there's no dinner. I'm going to starve to death. Oh, my God, there's nothing in the refrigerator. Why don't you take care of me? It's like, that's drama. Okay. This is the point that we will operate in that combination, that confluence of science, psychology, and drama. What is science? The systematic study and structure of behavior in the physical and natural world. Are you part of the physical and natural world?
Yes.
Are your clients part of the physical and natural world?
Yes.
So we have science, okay? Psychology is understanding how the human mind functions, especially those affecting behavior in a given context. As sales professionals or business developers, are we interested in how people will behave in a certain context? Sure we are. That's the study. And drama is the art of actively performing a role in a play or show. When might we use drama in our selling? Well, guys, you heard it this morning. In storytelling. My weakness in selling is that I am not a great storyteller. I realize that I am not a great storyteller. And I'm on this mission. Like, I enjoyed Ty this morning. He was speaking to me. He wasn't speaking to you. Because I'm on a mission to become a good storyteller. Because I can get very philosophical and da, 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 da. But we live in a story world. You know? So I'll learn that with you, because I know you're not great storytellers, most of you. And the reason I know that is I try and collect. My Lewitt letter, I write it every week, goes out to 6,000 selling professionals. You can get on it too, just give me your email. I write it every week, it's really good. So thank you, thank you. So I wrote one Lewitt letter, I said, send me your stories. I'm doing a book on stories for, specifically for financial professionals, because there are stories I'm collecting. You know how many stories I got back from 6,000 readers? 20. And I started calling people up. I know, how come you didn't send me a story? I don't tell a lot of stories. And yet our business is about stories. When John's sister talked, was that a story? I don't know about you, but tears were in my eyes. That's the power. That's what Ty was saying this morning. So I'm on a mission to do that. Now, when you do all these three things, your selling DNA shifts. If you work on my system, you're going to struggle, struggle, struggle. One day you're going to get up and you're going to see the world in a totally different way. It's like boom, and it's not a gradual process. It's like I worked at it, I worked at it, I worked at it, I worked at it, and then boom, light goes on. It's like, Steve, I look at the world totally differently. And your sales will go through the roof. So that's the goal. So to get from here to here, instead of always be closing ABC, I use CBA, client-based achievement. Please write that in a rule. We are interested in CBA client-based achievement. Right now, you're my clients, right? Are you my clients right now?
Yes.
Sure we are. We're here together. I don't know why we all got together. It's amazing to me when a group gets together because there are so many forces in the world that bring people together, and all of a sudden we're here in this room, and I'm talking to you about selling. And I say, wow, how do I get you or assist you or enable you to achieve? That's what client-based achievement is. I can't do it for you. But I know everybody in this room can sell better. In fact, I think you could all be superstars. I really do. There's nobody that can't sell. Well, I had one guy that couldn't sell. Boy, was he boring. He gave dinner seminars. I went to one of his dinner seminars, and people were asleep back after 10 minutes. I said, you know what, Nick? Go get another job. I'm brutal. Remember, no hope. I mean, he was really bad. Okay. So here's what happens. We want to make a sale, right? And we have this road. We get sit down with a client, and we have this road here, and at the end of the road is our sale. And naively, we see that road as clear. I'm going to make a sale. I'm going to get there. But as we travel along the road, we notice that there are some things happening. There are landmines buried in the road. And those landmines can blow up your sale. So the first landmine is if people do not have any breakthrough emotion, which I'll detail for you in a second. So this is the first landmine. Get ready. Okay. Here we go. These are landmines, just to give you some idea. Sir, that was really bad. That was right in your hands. I hope your dad didn't say that to you, because you're probably living that out right now. I'm not your dad. Do not be angry with me. All right, so there the first landmines is if people don't emotion. What did Ty say to you this morning? Why do people buy? Emotionally, logic just convinces them. It's like peripheral stuff. Next landmine is they won't leave their current advisor or their current insurance guy. Is that a landmine? Could that blow up your sale? Okay, what else is on the road? They won't make a decision. I better give some more of these out here, because I got a whole box full. I bought these all for you. We're going to keep trying here. Yeah, give them a round of applause. The steps got one. All right, here we go. Here we go.
This is BYU. You've got to put like 10 seconds left in the game.
Oh, is that right? Those are my Hail Mary passes. They were good. All right. They won't make a decision. They don't see you as different from anybody else. Hey, why is this guy different? Okay. And then there's a whole host of others that can blow up. And what we naively do is we go out, we gather the data, we give the presentation, right? And then we start walking down the road, and these things blow up the sale. After we have gone to work for the client, after we have done all the work, after we have given all the information, they blow up the sale. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, when you go to work for people and three meetings later, they won't leave their advisor, or four meetings later, you say, well, let's do it. And they say, yeah, but I can't leave Joe. Why can't you leave Joe? I love Joe. He's been with me for 20 years. Yeah, but Joe is losing you a fortune. Oh, he's such a good guy. Takes me out for lunch twice a year. But he's losing you a lot of money. Oh, yeah, I don't want to hurt his feelings. You've heard that. I've heard that. It's totally irrational. It's not real. But I've done 3 meetings and now the advisor blows up my sale. When you go 3-4 meetings and the advisor blows up the sale, what does that feel like? Put yourself back in a situation recently where you had 4 meetings with somebody and then the sale blew up. Maybe yesterday. No, you were here yesterday. Maybe Wednesday. No, you were here Wednesday. Tuesday. What does that feel like, folks?
Failure.
What else does it feel like? What? What's the feeling, feel word? It felt used, what? Unworthy, feel word. This is gonna like pull in teeth here, feel word. Feel. How do you feel when you're done? Lousy, that's a feel word. Bad is a feel word. Hurt is a feel word. Angry, loser. You see, those are feel words. You got to get in touch with your feel words, gentlemen. You ladies, you got it nailed. Us guys, we just have them buried in there, circulating and mishmashing. We're men. I don't feel. All right? Now remember that feeling. Do you want it to go away? Do you want to ever have that feeling again? On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 means you don't want to have that feeling. You're okay with that feeling of being a loser or whatever it is when you lose it. And 10 means you never want to feel it again. Where are you all at? I'm going to continue to talk to you. By the way, we're going to get through about half of what I want to talk about this morning. So these are called landmines. There are landmines in everything that you do. Here's a list of selling landmines. No emotion, won't leave the advisor, won't make clear decisions, doesn't perceive value, burned by other professionals, wants to take control, irrational thinking, personality conflict, irregularity of meeting sequence, or they're confused. All of those are landmines. Any one of those could blow up the sale. The big 4 are no emotion, the advisor, decision, and value. Okay, product landmines, like for annuities or variable annuities, because I sell a lot of fixed index annuities, just so that you know, I love them. I sell a lot of assets under management. I sell a lot of life insurance. Most of my life insurance is tax-free income deals. That's what most of it is. But for annuities, will the insurance company go out of business? Surrender fees, rider fees, caps on growth, confusion with variable annuities, media, too good to be true, friends don't have them. Market's up and down, it's a bad time to sell, it's a bad time to buy, it doesn't want to take capital gains. Any one of those can blow up my annuity sale if I'm going to use annuity in that plan. Assets under management, fees too high, performance not great, market's up and down, it's a bad time to buy or sell, doesn't want to take capital gains, pain in the neck to change. I can do that myself. That's what my current advisor does. Now, wouldn't it be a good idea? Wouldn't it be a good idea that if I'm going to go to work for you, you're my client, that before I spend a lot of time with you, that we go down this road together and we pull up each landmine and look at it together and you tell me that it's not a landmine. Wouldn't that be a good idea? Isn't that a good idea before I go to work? And then when I have all the landmines up and diffused, wouldn't that be a better time to make a presentation and give this person all my information? Right? Because the sale is already closed if there are no landmines. So what happens here is that you are going to now reverse the process. You are going to become the client. You're going to behave like a client. Now, if you behave like the client and take the client's script away, what does the client have to do? has to act like you. He's got to pick up your script. So you are going to bring up the landmines before the client does. Rule, bring up all the landmines before the client brings them up. You must bring them up first. If they bring them up, they put you in a corner. If you bring them up, this is what they're going to say. I think she's reading my mind. God, that's what I was thinking. He's really listening to me. He understands me. He's not trying to sell me anything. Wow, he's on my side. This is the worst salesperson I ever met. The best compliment you can. So I'm sitting there with a client saying, these are all the reasons you shouldn't buy my annuity. And they're saying, what are you talking about? This is, oh no, there are a lot of problems with annuities. Maybe it's not for you. Here's the problems with annuities. This is what people say to me. They worry that the insurance company might go out of business. Did that cross your mind? They say, oh yeah, it crossed my mind. Oh, let's talk about that and see if that's a deal killer. So in my mind, when I'm sitting with a client, I'm not trying to make a sale. Because if I go in there trying to make a sale, then I got to manipulate my client. If I manipulate my client, they're going to feel disrespected. If they feel disrespected, either consciously or unconsciously, they're not going to buy from me, or fewer will. So I want my client to feel fully respectful, so I'm going to bring up all the issues that are running through their head. I'm going to take them out of their head, and I'm going to put them on the table. Let's talk about this. Jim, you know what I was thinking here, Jim? You've worked with other financial professionals, right? I'll bet. If you're like other clients I have, you've been burned before. Yes. And I'll bet I'm starting to sound like some of those guys. Say yes. Thank you. Got to do a little coaching. So how do I keep you out of putting me in the camp and lumping me with all those guys that burned you? Fair? I can talk to him blue about how trustworthy I'm great and I'm not going to do what the other guy said. He's got to solve, that's his problem, not mine. How do you keep me out of it? What do I have to do so you don't put me in that camp? But I'm going to sound the same. Yeah, I don't know either. Is that something we can get over? You're not sure? Tell me a little bit about how you've been burned. See, he didn't say, yeah, we could get over that. He said, I hope so. Uh-oh. What did I say about hope? It's a killer. If I buy into that, oh, you hope so? Oh, great, let's go on. So we're going to have a long conversation about being burned and how not to be put me in. And I'm not going to go any further. If I can't get over that, I have no sale. He can't get over it. You need to be ruthless with yourself and with your clients. On one hand, you've got to be a great, wonderful, nice, sincere, smart, empathetic, sympathetic, dedicated, superb person. I don't want to lay too much on you to do. On the other hand, you have to be lethal if you want to make sales. Otherwise, you'll be a very nice person and your clients will say to you things like, what's your name? Jason. Jason, you're the best financial advisor I've ever met. Thank you so much. When we get back to you, we're going to do business with you. They're going to love you, but they're not going to buy from you. You must be lethal on the inside. And that's what this system is. It is a lethal way of controlling or working with the client that makes it reciprocal. They get what they need, and you get what you need. Otherwise, it's not reciprocal.
Steve, question.
Question, yeah. I'm going to show you that. Can I go over 15 minutes?
No.
10 minutes? Okay, real quick. So, I apologize, we're just not going to do it. So, build rapport. This is the new science tactics. It's in the back of your blue book. Build rapport, diffuse landmines. Then you're not going to do a plan for anybody. You're not going to do it. You're going to design it together. If you design the plan together, you think they'll like it? It's their plan. I never have a problem with the plan because my client designs it. Okay? Take their temperature, scale 0 to 10, then what would you like to do next, sir or ma'am? And they always say, well, go get the paperwork. Because they've got pain. There's no landmines. They've got a solution that they built. Why wouldn't they buy it? Only one reason. They lie to you. And some of them will. Some of them will. Okay, so that's all about FedEx. So write this down. At the end of our system, you can only get three. You will only accept three results, a clear yes, a clear no, or a next appointment. That's the only thing you will accept. And you're going to set that up in the beginning with the client. So, this is on the back of your booklet. No information, unless you're the sale, you know they're making a commitment to you. No presentation unless the sale is closed. No mind reading. Do not try and figure them out. Let them figure that out. No tangents from the system. No going through red and yellow lights, which I'll show you in a second. This is the hardest one. No selling. Can you stop selling? It's really hard because it's ingrained in us. And ultra nurturing and compassion. Okay. So we did, this is all about emotion drives the sale. We talked about this yesterday. If there's no breakthrough emotion, what I said yesterday, everybody has emotions. We need emotions they cannot live with. I got a toothache. I can't wait a week. I got to run to the doctor. That's the emotion we are looking for. You've got to get it out in feeling words. And that's where these 10 questions, which is on the back of the book, you do not have to write them down. Okay? If you go through these questions with your clients, if you learn just this today and practice this and not deviate from this, your sales will go up. Do I need to do a quick role play on these questions? Okay, I need a player. Boy, they said they would, not one. Okay, Greg. Okay, thank you. Greg, thanks for coming in. What would make this a good meeting for you today, Greg? I really appreciate it, by the way. So when you're going home, you said, wow, it's great, I saw Steve. What would make this a good meeting?
I'm looking for ways to plan out my retirement.
Excellent. No matter what they say. Next question. Could you tell me more about that? Interesting. No matter what he says, could you be more specific?
My brother-in-law tells me that I should just keep it in my 401k. I'm not sure if I should do that.
I see. Okay, you see how much information I got from the first piece of information? Most of you would have been gathering data after the first information. Oh, really? Let's see what you got. I'll do a plan for you. Okay. How long has that been going on? Now, his brother-in-law is another landmine all of a sudden. Did you hear that? See, this is how I think. That's a landmine. So I could say to him, well, why aren't you sitting with your brother-in-law? It sounds like you listen to him. But let's leave that on the side. Okay, so how long has this been going on for?
I've been thinking about this for about a year.
A year. And what have you done over the year to fix that?
Just been going to a lot of dinner seminars, eating really well.
Yeah. You look a little heavier from the last time I saw you. Okay, and how's that worked out for you?
You know, I feel like I'm more confused than where I was to begin with.
Now, I could say, can you tell me more about the confusion and go down this list again? I mean, you can open up a world of stuff here. Really? What do you think that's cost you? Has that cost you anything over the past year when you haven't done anything?
No, not really.
So there's no financial?
No.
Okay.
Got it.
Can I ask you a kind of personal question?
Sure.
Story called The Midnight Story. You're sitting home with your wife. Imagine this. You're sitting home with your wife. It's late at night, having a glass of wine maybe. Oh, no. You're having a glass of root beer. Keep forgetting. I must admit this. I had a glass of wine last night at a restaurant. Boy, that was good. Having a glass of root beer with your wife. I hope you let me back. You know, you're the nicest group of people I have ever talked to. You really are. You guys are really nice. And you're looking at each other and you say, you know, I'm retiring 6 months. We got this money. We don't know what to do with it. Sorry, the market might go down. Whatever he told you, tell the story back. And you got to know how to tell that story with drama and just like Tai Toy. How does that make you feel? Can you say a little bit more about the frustration? Because I was feeling the frustration too. That's an acting assignment. A little drama. Yeah. I was starting to feel that, like in your stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I was feeling it. Yeah.
I'll go to one person, they'll say another thing than what I heard previously, and that keeps happening.
I see. So, how frustrated are you? Scale of 0 to 10. 0 means I'm not frustrated. 10 means it's like it's off the charts. Where would you put yourself?
The closer I get to retirement, the higher it gets.
And so can you put a number on that?
Right now, 7.
Okay. Magic wand, which is not on there. Suppose you had a magic wand and you could get yourself from 7 to 10. What would have to happen?
Just that I feel confident about where to go.
So if you felt confident, the frustration would go away.
Yeah.
When did you want to fix this? You could wait another 6 months for retirement.
Yeah.
What did I just do? I pushed him away. I'm never going to pull him in. You could wait another 6 months. Can I ask you, is status quo an option? Just keep doing what you're doing. Let's say I can't help you. Would you just keep doing what you're doing?
No, I think we're on a pretty good mission to find out what to do.
Okay, of course. Is he a good client for me so far? Yeah, he's got breakthrough emotion. So I'm going to, so I've got a green light on him. Now let's say he said status quo was an option. That's a yellow light, maybe a red light. So I'm going to say, you know, it's not right time. I'm going to take it totally away. I'm never going to pull at him. If I pull at him, what is he going to do? He's going to pull back. So I'm always pushing. My goal is to get them out of my office as quick as possible. My record is 6 minutes getting them at, that's what I try and do. I get it. Go do what you're doing. You don't need me. 6 minutes is my record, and it would have been less, except the guy asked for a cup of coffee, and I had to sit there and wait until he finished his cup of coffee. I was so annoyed at him. Advisor. Oh, yeah. I'm moving here. Eliminate one landmine just by moving. Okay, this is what you typically, I got 4 minutes, typically people say, try to undermine the other advisor. Well, he didn't do this for you, didn't do that. Here is the best way to get rid of their advisor, okay? You're going to send them back to their advisor. Yes, you're gonna, here's what's gonna happen. I need a role play. Somebody? Sir, you're working with who? All right, you have an advisor. Who's helping you with your money now?
No one.
Do someone.
Oh,
okay. Ameriprise. Because if self people are a different issue, it's a little more complicated. Ameriprise. I heard Ameriprise was phenomenal.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like advisors.
Okay. Now, if I had said, well, I haven't heard good things about Ameriprise, what would you say? Really, right? If you push people to perfection, they will come back with the things that are wrong. I heard Ameriprise was phenomenal. What did he say to me? Well, they're not that good. Really? Can you tell me more? And he's going to tell me all the problems with Ameriprise. Okay, that's first thing. So how long have you been with your guy?
3 years.
3 years? So you have a relationship.
Yeah.
He's doing something right for 3 years. That's good. I mean, it's hard to find a guy you like. So let me ask you a question. What's your name?
Rick.
Let me ask you a question. When you talk with your advisor about all the things you told me, that you're going to retire in 6 months, that you're worried about it, that you need confidence and peace of mind, he gave you, not did he give you, do you hear the difference? Not did he give you, that's challenging. Assume that he gave you a fix-it plan. Did you bring it along with you? Is it home in a drawer or someplace? No, it's not. Nobody has a fix-it plan. I've been asking this question for 20 years. I got one. Okay, so did you bring it? It's, so say no.
No,
it's usually, here, listen to this. It's usually spiral bound. He must have given it to you. It says fix-it plan. Maybe it's home in the garbage. No, you say no, I never got one. You never got one. Okay, so how about, can I share something with you what I'm thinking? I'm thinking you have a relationship with the guy at Ameriprise, John. He's good at what he does. He's at Ameriprise. I'm thinking that maybe you should be sitting with him. He might be able to solve all of this for you. You already have a relationship, and you don't have to start a whole new relationship with me. What do you think? So he has two choices now. What are the two choices? To leave. And 1 in 100 will, which means you wouldn't have gotten the sale anyway. What's his other choice now? So you're going to go back, right? I'm sorry? Remember, when somebody says something important, you go deaf. I'm sorry? You're not going to go back? I didn't hear.
I'm not going to go back. That's the reason why I come to see you.
Really? Help me out here. Well, that happened. He's probably very busy. He's probably very, very good. See how I keep selling his guy? If I sell his guy, what's he doing with me now? He's selling me. I'm trying to sell him on his. Remember I said the world works in reverse? You try and sell their advisor, and they'll tell you how bad they are and want to stay. People say, Steve, I'm staying. I'm not leaving. Ay, ay, ay. Yes.
So he says, I'm going to give you $1 million.
I'm sorry?
I'm going to give you $1 million. That's what he says. He comes back and says, I'm not going to leave the guy. I'm going to give you $1 million of my $4 million.
Oh, why would you do that? He's a good guy. Yeah, look, you got a relationship, right? He's going to call you. He is going to be all over you when you move the money. How are you going to handle that? Now, I'm 15, 20 minutes into the meeting. What are we talking about? Moving money already. When are you talking about moving money? Second, third, or fourth meeting. I do in 15 minutes. He's going to be all over you. How are you going to handle it? You're afraid of him? Maybe you should stay and not upset the relationship. You have to have a few, I can't say it here. I'm gonna finish. Kahunas, whatever they are. All right, I got in. All right, let me make a suggestion to you. This is where you guys go from here. This is the tip of the iceberg. I need 1 minute, John. In your package, there are three things. If you're really interested in changing, guys, I mean really changing and getting on top of your business, having a better life, having more fun, there's a couple of things you should do. One is come to my table. Oh, I didn't even get a chance to do this. John, I have a training packet for you, which you can buy. Now, come to the table, I'll explain it all to you. It's phenomenal, it's got videos, it's got my advanced training manual, plus you get a copy of my book. Included in the upsell on the package is coming, this is what John came to, my DNA changer event. The next one is October 18th or something like that. You should come and stay with me for 2 days in Chicago. I promise you, you will not. You will come out of there, you know, it's good. The last thing that you all should come to, if you've never heard Ed Slott speak, we've got a deal where you can go to California in November, hear Ed Slott for a day and a half. He's the best IRA person. You all know Ed Slott? Best IRA person in the world. And then spend 4 hours with me after Ed Slott, and I got four keynote speakers. Two of those are absolutely can't-miss speakers. That's Tammy Simpson, who was here last year. And Tim Jenkin is the first person that I've met. I've been searching for somebody for 3 years who can do business off of social media. Everybody else can't. Tim Jenkin has built a business, $400 million under management, $10 million a year in annuity sales, variable and fixed, ton of life insurance, all through social media. It's absolutely amazing. So please come over to the table. I apologize, John. I really apologize. It went so long. And thank you very much.